Question, do you think mental decline is an inevitable part of aging? Our brains do shrink as we get older. Well, new research shows that you can actually stretch your brain out again, something called neuroplasticity. You can literally increase brain connections, forge new pathways. You can, for instance, ask yourself questions that just in the asking can make your brain sharper. So, curious to know more? Good, you just woke up part of your brain. We have two guests. Their new book is Staying Sharp, 9 Keys for a Youthful Brain Through Modern Science and Ageless Wisdom. Dr. Henry Emmons is a psychiatrist with Partners in Resilience in Minneapolis. Welcome.
Hello.
Dr. David Alter is a psychologist and co-founder of Partners in Healing, a center for holistic health in Minneapolis as well. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much.
Let's just start, shall we, with number one, stay active. Now, we know that you should be active as you get older. It keeps you limber. Lots of oxygen makes for better moods. You even say there's science that shows that even walking can enlarge the brain.
No matter how old you are, if you start moving, it is going to be good for your brain. And, you know, you talked about the brain shrinking and brain volume. One thing just to add to that is that there is really good evidence that simply walking for 45 minutes a few days a week correlates with an increase, not just that it slows down the decrease, but people can actually increase the volume of their brains. It also protects your memory. It gives your body a good form of stress. You know, we think about stress as being bad all the time, and it is when we're stressed continuously. But doing something that stresses your body like exercise does, it's exactly what your body wants to do when those stress hormones are elevated.
I can add just a bit, Robin, to that. This is Dr. Alter here. I would say that what the physical, mental, and relational aspects all have in common is that they engage a person more deeply in their day-to-day life. And movement is just a way of becoming more physically engaged.
Being mindful of what you're doing and being part of the world that's moving around you instead of moving past you. So there's movement. Sleep. Let's linger here for a second. For some reason, we think that older people either can't sleep but don't need it. I don't know why I have that feeling, but I don't know where that comes from. You write, though, that it is imperative for everyone for cleaning out the brain. Dr. Emmons, take that.
Yes, one of the recent and really exciting discoveries about how the brain works is that there is a nighttime cleaning crew that comes into the brain while you're sleeping and only while you're sleeping to basically clean out the waste products. And it might explain one of the really important reasons why sleep is so protective against Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. When you sleep deeply, the rest of your brain literally shrinks, and it allows more space for those channels, the glymphatic system, to clean the waste products out.
Or put the things that you want to keep in their proper place of storage.
Exactly.
That's right.
The other, you know, really key element that relates to memory is that during your deep sleep stages, your brain can shift memories from the short-term storage to long-term storage. And if we don't sleep deeply, that doesn't happen. And then people often think mistakenly that they have some kind of dementia because they can't remember. It's simply because it hasn't been put into storage.
And Dr. Alter, we're also reading that good sleep can take the edge off of painful events because of a stress chemical that drops while you sleep?
Sleep in many ways is the repair and restore cycle of a 24-hour day. So when you're sleeping deeply, if we take a typical 6-8 hours of sleep, the first half is devoted to repairing the body, and the second half has a much higher preponderance of dreams. Both of those are times when the body is going through these cycles where cortisol, the stress chemical that you were alluding to, is fluctuating, but overall it's reducing so that the next day you are both energized, you have put memories where they need to be, and you're in a better rejuvenated position to face that next day with some of the kind of cognitive attitudes that we'll be talking about, that optimistic, a forward-looking way of engaging your day.
Because you've worked through painful memories in a stress-free state towards the end of that long sleep. As you write, It's as if you're giving yourself free therapy as you sleep.
Free therapy. You can't beat that.
That's right.
But I want to move on to food. Each of you give me one food and one reason why it's so important for keeping your brain sharp.
Well, I can tell you, this is Henry Emmons, that one of the key, probably most important aspect of diet and brain health is that if you eat in a certain way, you will help keep your blood sugar down. And blood sugar, if it gets elevated even a little bit, is just so hard on the brain. It's correlated with shrinkage of the brain tissue. It's correlated with inflammation. And so people who have a sweet tooth, like I do, if they take a few simple measures, for example, having some protein each time they eat, trying to focus their carbohydrates on things that take a long time for the body to digest, those two simple things go a really long ways towards stabilizing your blood sugar.
What I'd add to that, this is Dr. Alter, is that if you think about the phrase mind-body health or mind-body medicine, it sort of suggests a direction that we tend to think that if you take care of the mind, it'll take care of the body. But when you focus on eating, you're really focusing on the reverse, that in many ways what you feed the body is what will then in turn be able to feed or make healthy the mind, the brain.
So what you eat is not just about weight, it's about your brain. I want to get to the last six keys of preventing an aging brain. Things like curiosity, be curious, be flexible in the way you approach life and people, have empathy, be authentic. What if someone's hearing that and saying, oh, no, I am too old to become a curious person? You know, these are personality traits.
I'm not sure that these are, in fact, enduring personality traits. They're not fixed. So if we're talking about curiosity, it's a fundamental attitudinal shift that can begin with broadening your awareness so that it begins to move outside of the usual range of expectations that you have about what you'll do, what you'll get in return, looking for things that you may not have noticed before. And anybody at any age can say, I wonder about.
You can do that. You can repeat questions like that, and your brain can then rewire to make you more curious.
Right.
Robin, if I could share a study that we refer to in the book. This is a study by Ellen Langer that was done some years ago.
We know her well.
You know
she's,
her.
Yeah,
oh,
she's a leader in the study of mindfulness.
One of her studies from years ago involved taking a number of older adults to an empty monastery and keeping them there for a time. They divided them into two groups, and they had one group act as if they were younger. They reminded them of their early years through music and pictures and newspaper clippings and the like. And they advised them to act like they were in their late teens, early 20s. The other group was not given that recommendation. What they found was that after just a short time, the group that was acting younger had become happier. They had become more engaged. Even things like arthritic fingers got more flexible. They were able to move better. Some of them started playing flag football. I mean, it's just remarkable how powerful the mind is at changing even the things that we don't think of as being changeable.
Yeah. You talk about art, for instance, and seeing beauty. It actually does help our brain.
The brain is insatiably hungry. It is designed for lifelong learning. And part of what closes off the possibility of remaining youthful throughout life is when we begin to feed it primarily what we've already experienced. So curiosity and flexibility and optimism are cognitive dimensions that rest on the idea that you're opening the brain up through using your mind intentionally to bring in new experiences.
Dr. Henry Emmons, a psychiatrist with Partners in Resilience in Minneapolis. Dr. David Alter, psychologist and co-founder of Partners in Healing. Their book, Staying Sharp, 9 Keys for a Youthful Brain. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you very much.
And for their last tip, be authentic. They include a Mae Sarton poem, Now I Become Myself. It's taken time, many years and places. I've been dissolved and shaken, worn other people's faces. The doctors say, find your own.